you know, and we hope to attract a healthy mix. So, you know, there's always going to be people that farm and dump, you know, we've all been there, all done it. But we're hoping to have a healthy mix of people who do that and people who farm and hold for the long term, because, you know, we are very long term folks. Yeah, we, for the, like, even for our token emissions, we have a full 4-year plan. You know, it's not just a flash plan. So a lending protocol has to be trustworthy. It has to just have those values where you know that exactly you can put your funds in there and leave them there, and there's no risk to them. You know that you can take out a loan and, again, not have to worry about your collateral. And on the farming side, when you're supplying stable coins and earning from Hyundai Finance, again, you know that you're not going to have to monitor this every 2 seconds and claim your rewards and so on. It's something that is there for the long term. We have a 4-year plan with maybe 50% of the emissions happening in the first year. And we have a massively multi-chain plan.
Welcome to Mission DeFi with Brad Nickel, where we explore projects in decentralized finance that are innovating and driving our mission of financial freedom forward. Thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, rate, and review Mission DeFi and spread the word by posting a tweet to the show. All opinions expressed by Brad Nickel or his guests are their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Black Knox, Material Indicators, or any other affiliated organizations. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Brad Nickel or his guests as an inducement to make a particular investment, follow a particular strategy, or become involved with any project. A project being featured on the show is not an endorsement of that project in any way. This podcast is for informational purposes only. Now, here's Mission DeFi with Brad Nickel.
I'm excited to have on the show today Acid Bird and VFAT that are from a project called 100. But most of you will probably be familiar with one of these guys because you've probably spent a lot of time refreshing his site, VFAT Tools. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to move into what 100 is and why it's important and kind of the philosophy behind this DeFi project that these guys have created in the space. So I'd love for you both to introduce yourselves. Do you want to go first, Acid Bird or VFAT? You want to take a run at it?
Yeah, I can go first.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. So, well, basically I did a lot like in the past outside crypto, have vast experience of different like management projects, and went into crypto in 2017, started with investing into projects, and then slowly, since I did marketing and communications outside crypto as well, decided to kind of kick off and started helping projects in crypto with marketing and community building. One of the earliest was, and from that it kind of kickstarted, and I basically got to know a lot of DJs in Synthetics Discord during the 2020 summer and all the DeFi activities back in the days. And then when VFAT, well, of course, used a lot of VFAT tools and still using it. And then we kind of got to know each other with VFAT, and he invited me into 100 Finance, and I joined him and taking care of marketing and communications right now in the project.
Awesome. Awesome. And so your background is primarily marketing, and you were in other businesses. So.
Marketing operations, mainly management.
Very cool. And so you got the bug, you were trading, you were using VFAT, you kind of met him through the community and you guys connected up to 200.
Yeah.
Cool. Kind of. So VFAT, what you've got to go a little bit back for us, because I think first most people are going to want to hear a little bit about how you created the site and the tools, why you created them. And I'd also kind of like an idea of what it's like trying to manage all of that, because I have a feeling it's incredibly consuming. And then kind of tell us the origin of why you created 100 and where you're going.
So I got into crypto about 20, but I was only dabbling and I wasn't properly into it. I obviously went through the whole 2017, 2018 thing, just kind of kept some crypto on the side that didn't really think too much of it. But then come summer of 2020, or maybe a bit earlier than that, I found out about DeFi and I was instantly hooked. I think the first transaction I did in DeFi was to open an InstaDApp so that I could farm comp with leverage.
Straight into DeGen. That's awesome.
It was because I read an article on the Defiant that explained that strategy. I thought, yeah, this is for me.
That is the first DeFi move, dude. That's awesome. Go ahead.
So then I was also in the DeGen trading room. Again, that was the other thing. So that was probably like the second Discord I joined was the synthetics one. And then the community in DeGen trading was absolutely incredible. Like it all happened there. I mean, this is still pretty solid, but you know, you can't compare it to those early days. So what happened was there was obviously my predecessor was yieldfarming.info run by Weeb McGee. So he that was what everyone used, but he only added, I don't know, maybe it was a couple dozen projects and then kind of stopped updating the site. So what happened was I'd made a local coffee and I just kept adding products to that just to use for myself, because probably the first couple hundred projects that I added to VFAT tools, I also farmed them myself. So the reason was that I was doing this for myself because I wanted to know what the APIs are and the TVLs and so on. And that's why I called it VFAT tools as well, because it was literally made for myself, but obviously other people found it useful as well. And I couldn't anticipate just how big it would get then, obviously. But yeah, with all the food farms and all that happened, things quickly got out of hand. But yeah, so this was a full-time job for me for sure. For most of 2020 and early 2021, it got to the point where, you know, I thought, okay, I need to do other things. I can't just keep updating my site all day, every day. So I hired the programmer to do that part so I can focus on other things. I'm involved in the
It must be hard to actually dive into actual DeFi plays when you're spending your entire day trying to update protocol integrations.
Yeah, no, like it's good that I get to know about all of them because people ask me to add them to the side. But yes, exactly. It's hard to balance getting both things done.
Were you a developer before? Were you a developer prior to kind of jumping into this, or what kind of world were you in before that?
I've been a developer for a really long time. Yeah, I was just going to as a kid and it hasn't left me. So again, DeFi is perfect for that reason for me.
Very cool. So you hired a developer to help you kind of handle the workload so you could actually look at other things and actually make some money, because you're not really making money from VFAT, right? I mean, I guess people send you contributions, but it's not like a massively for-profit enterprise yet.
No, it's not for-profit at all. Yeah, like the contributions don't even pay the salary for my developer. But yes, my income has been from yield farming for the biggest part since that summer 2020. So I'm not complaining. I see VFAT tools as more of a public good sort of thing, you know, like, and it's not the sort of site that I would want to charge people to use or charge fees on and anything like that, because it just doesn't make sense. You know, it's an information site, you know, it's like the Wikipedia for farming or whatever you call it. I think that's going to stay as it is. I am, however, working on that VFAT tools version 2 as well. And I hope to launch that in the next, I don't know, maybe we'll have a beta in the next couple of months, something like that. Yeah. So things are pretty busy on that.
I have to ask what kind of things you're going to put into to version two?
Well, let's see. There's a few things that a lot of people want. One thing is you're going to be able to see all your farms in one page.
Yes.
And there's going to be an API so that other sites can use the information as well. And there's going to be a farm comparison, so you can, again, compare all farms from one page. And also there's going to be some smart contracts involved.
So really? Okay, cool. Is there going to be search?
Yeah.
Awesome. I got to tell you, man, I love all the power that's in this tool. I mean, sorry about that, guys. I'm having a tripod issue here. I love all the tools that are in this project, and it's absolutely amazing. And I actually love the command line like appearance of it. But those are the things that just like have been driving me crazy to be able to have. So I'm really excited to hear that. That's great. Well, and I think, look, I mean, the other part of this, I don't think people realize the only reason I figured it out was that people were actually using VFAT tools as an interface to projects was I got scammed and immediately made the assumption that something on your site was something you were involved with, you know, subconsciously. And so like an idiot, I just aped into it without even really reading anything and, you know, lost a few bucks, but at the end of the day, I think there's so much more power in this platform than people actually realize. I mean, essentially you have something that could actually be a unified interface launch platform. One of the things that I talk about a lot is that we actually don't need all of the websites we have for all the protocols we have. We could essentially have either a wallet or an interface to all of these protocols, which is what you really have kind of built, that has kind of a unified interface, and people could focus on the function of the protocol instead of worrying about how nice their website looked or, you know, how the buttons functioned or the UI functioned. So anyway, I think there's a ton of power under the hood for this thing. So I don't want to distract you from 100, but I think there's a ton of potential there.
No. Yes. Yeah, so 100. So the origin story for that is, especially in 2020, getting started in DeFi, was getting involved in as many projects as possible, just helping out here and there, you know, like writing a strategy for a snapshot or helping out just any project, really. One of those projects that I got involved with was Percent Finance. So Percent was a fork of Compound, launched probably September 2020, I think it was. And it was its main innovation is that it was community oriented. So there's no VCs, you know, completely fair launched. You farm the token and that's it, then you can participate. So I did that. I participated in that. I got involved. I was on the multi-sig for that. I was helping out with the contracts. Unfortunately, disaster struck to that. There was a problem with the contracts, and essentially some of them got stuck, and some funds got stuck in them. And at that point, Percent couldn't continue. So what happened was
I'm sorry, let me real quickly. So with Percent, what you're saying is it was a community project. It was exciting. Everything was kind of going great with it. And the community was engaged and involved. And there was a bug of some sort in the smart contracts, and some funds got locked up, which basically killed the project is essentially the...
That's it. So 100 is version 2 of Percent. So, you know, we built it from the ground up. We used that. Much different tokenomics. So one of the big problems with Percent was all the tokens were farmed within about 8 months. So that meant that nothing left for incentives, there's nothing left for developers. You know, it just didn't work very well. And of course, we did a migration. So people that had the Percent token, you know, got the 100 token with a vest. And also we assigned 20% of the whole supply to the Compound DAO, because the contracts are from Compound. Again,
nice.
Percent didn't involve Compound at all, which, I mean, yeah, it is open source, but it's still, you use someone's contracts, it does make a lot of sense that they get to be involved in your protocol, you know?
Yeah, I wish a lot more protocols were doing that, man. It really should be like the core of every time someone forks something that they say, okay, I'm going to give it back, you know?
And yeah,
and it makes total sense.
And that's so much better than like the INSOP V3 model of, you know, you can't use our contracts.
Yeah, exactly. No, it absolutely should be a part of the model. If someone's taking something you built and improved on it, you should reward back the other community that spent so much time and energy building what was used. So yes. Can you give us an overview? You know, we have an audience that's probably a little bit mixed. Can you kind of just walk us through the core function of what people can do on Hundred? And I know that a lot of people will already know, but I think it's just a good idea to kind of top level, take us from top down, what's possible and what people do utilizing Hundred.
So Hundred is a lending vertical. You can either, we've based it around stable coins, right? So the main uses of a lending protocol are to supply your blue chips, like your Ethereum and your Bitcoins, and borrow against it so that, you know, you can still keep your capital and also borrow some stable coins to use elsewhere, like for yield farming or anything like that. So the way we structured it is you can either deposit your stable coins for other people to borrow, and we incentivize that with H&D tokens, or you can deposit your blue chips as collateral, and we don't incentivize that, and we don't incentivize borrowing either, because obviously the idea is when you're borrowing from a lending protocol, you can earn yield somewhere else. So that at the top level, 100 is a lending protocol with a focus on being multi-chain. Like, for example, we are among the very first on Arbitrum, where we first launched. We are working with maybe a dozen chains at the minute to launch on them, although we've only launched on two so far. We're still quite young. But the big goal of 100 is to be possibly the first cross-chain lending protocol. So a multi-chain is good and all that, but the end goal really is for lending purposes is to be able to supply collateral on one chain and take out a loan on a different one.
Wow. Well, I think that's kind of the holy grail of all of DeFi and where everything is headed, but sounds like you guys are going to push it forward sooner than later.
Yeah. So we are working on that already. And I don't want to say we're going to have it in a couple of weeks. So we've got to have an MVP out in probably 6 months, let's say.
Oh, that's great, man. That's actually much faster than I expected you to say. That's excellent. When you moved, so I could essentially, let's say, be on Arbitrum depositing, I don't know, USDC and borrow against it on, I don't know, Avalanche later or Polygon or something else.
Well, that's the plan. Yeah.
That's great. That's fantastic. When you launched Hundred, were you able to kind of bring or galvanize the community kind of back around to what you guys are doing?
Absolutely, yes. Everyone has been very supportive. And I mean, we didn't leave anyone in the lurch. You know, all the people that had funds frozen were compensated. So we were able to make a pretty good fresh start, I think.
That's excellent. Were the original folks on Percent, are they also involved with Hundred, or is it kind of a clean slate on the team and developers?
Yeah, I can add. Yeah, they are involved. And basically what we did is we rebranded our Discord and Telegram from Percent to Hundred.
Wow, nice.
These are the same channels for everyone.
That's so brilliant.
Yeah, like we didn't make anything new in that regard.
Yeah, and I'm sure the people who were stuck, or even the people who weren't stuck, who were just kind of worried about the project dying, we're incredibly relieved to know you guys were planning to do this. Was this something that kind of came about in the chaos of the lockup? You guys kind of started saying, okay, what can we do to resolve this? And, or was it something that kind of came to you later on?
Yeah, basically throughout the whole period, we were like probably developing for 10 months after Percent stopped its activity. And we kept our community, like Percent community, in the loop, kind of. And then we launched simply, and everyone was so excited. I mean, a lot of folks from Percent, they were so excited and they were grateful that we didn't leave.
Yeah.
But moved forward. Yeah. That's what we did.
Yeah. It makes total sense. Look, there are so many people out there that have lost and never gotten anything back. So the idea that there could be a new, not only that there may be a repayment of some kind from a project, but that in fact, you know, there's a whole new fresh clean slate starting off and they're going to be compensated back is an incredible relief, even if it takes time. How many people are kind of involved on the core team?
I can take this one as well.
Sure.
Five people currently.
Okay.
So it's me, myself. We have Tara Bellus, who is in charge of partnerships, and our content creator, and Nipa, developer. And Bluecrypt is a mathematician and he's helping with community as well.
Nice. Very nice. And is this something that, you guys are going to have eventually be kind of like a full-blown DAO with governance? It sounds like you've done so many other things kind of headed down that path. Is that kind of the long-term plan for this?
Well, yeah. So the, for now, our plan is to launch on a bunch of chains. As I said, we want to distribute the token as far and wide as possible to as many people as possible. And then probably, I would say, well, I don't know how long it's going to take, but when we decide that the token is sufficiently distributed, we're going to move over to a completely decentralized system where all the voting is going to be done on chain. And this is another tricky thing which we are working on, which we hope to be among the first to implement properly, would be cross-chain governance. So you can you can have your HND token and affect decisions on other chains as well.
That's amazing. So what, I mean, this kind of cross-chain vision, you guys are like obviously hardcore pursuing. What, you know, do you have kind of a target list of chains that you're going through first? You're obviously an Arbitrum, but then kind of what's next?
And Phantom as well.
Phantom. Excellent. I'm a big fan of Phantom. I'm degenerating in a lot over there. So.
our LP is on Bitcoin X, which is the balance on fork.
Right.
And we're also incentivizing stables there. And the one thing we didn't mention yet, by the way, is it's a bit, sometimes it's a bit tricky to launch on different chains for us, since we're using only Chainlink Oracle's tech. And in order to launch a market, Chainlink has to be integrated with, and we wanted and still want to launch on Avalanche, but some tokens are not yet supported there, and we're waiting for Chainlink basically to launch there.
Yeah, I was talking to a project the other day that was looking at Kronos, and there was no Chainlink integration, and they were having difficulty waiting for that as well. Yeah, it makes it more difficult. In terms of kind of adoption levels, are you kind of getting to the levels of use that you were hoping for, you know, or do you really feel like you need to make a big push on the marketing side of things? How are things going with it so far, I guess, is the question.
We need to push.
It's always that way.
Yeah.
It's always that way.
There is a lot of room to grow.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I think first cross chain or multi-chain, it gives you a lot of potential, and it also opens up the door for a lot of partnerships, right? I mean, marketing in DeFi is, I think, first and foremost about partnerships, and then, you know, kind of the rest of the marketing as well. So I assume that part of that will be is that you guys are going to be doing a lot of kind of cross promotion, cross integrations. Is this something that people will be able to easily kind of make use of and integrate into their protocols?
Sorry, do you mean integrate 100 into their protocols?
Correct.
Well, we are working with other protocols in that sense. It's mostly, I'm not sure how to describe it. We are integrating with other protocols rather than they integrating with us. But one example I can give you though is we're working with the Frax on Arbitrum. So when we added the Frax market, then we added incentives to that. They have added us to their smart contract. So
nice.
So people depositing Frax can automatically invest in hundreds. That's one example. Another one, now we are nearly deployed with B protocol on Arbitrum. So B protocol or backstop protocol is a solution that democratizes liquidations. So it's basically anyone can, because liquidations now are a bot game, just the fastest bot wins, most of the money goes to the miners. So with this solution, anyone can participate by just depositing a stable coin. So for example, you deposit your USDT into this pool, and then when a liquidation happens, it is done with funds from that pool, and then the proceeds from the liquidation are shared equally between anyone that has deposited. So yeah, so it makes it so that absolutely anyone can participate.
Yeah, and I just actually interviewed the guys from B Protocol last week, and I think that's a really powerful offering. So you guys are going to have B Protocol to allow for liquidations to happen automatically without kind of minor intervention and all the gaming that's happening now with liquidations.
Yeah, it makes it so that the profit from liquidations is shared amongst the users rather than going to the miners.
Absolutely. And it makes complete sense for it to be that way. And it reduces, or I guess it makes the entire platform more stable and safer, right? And so I think that's a great implementation. What, you know, if people are kind of looking at 100 Finance, what, and you were talking to someone about it, what would you say kind of is the primary differentiator going to be for people? I mean, right now it's starting off as a standard kind of lending platform, but I think the real differentiator, the thing that you guys are really going to be emphasizing is kind of multi-chain and cross-chain, right? Is that this is going to be a platform that you're going to see everywhere you go. And so that obviously gives people the ability to kind of know it and trust it and utilize it, whatever chain they prefer to be on. Is that really kind of the big focus strategically for the platform from a product perspective?
Yeah, but basically why 100? Because 100 chains. So, So we want to be on as many chains as possible. And yes, to truly, like Rifat said, we want to launch the lending protocol, like multi-chain lending protocol, so people can supply on one chain and borrow on another, so they don't need to move their funds from one chain to another. This is like the main strategic goal. And the second one is true multi-chain governance. That's basically what we're doing right now. We're slowly distributing HND token across the networks we are at right now, which are Phantom and Arbitrum currently. And on new chains we will be launching in the future, we will be doing the same thing. And as soon as we are ready, we will launch that governance. And there will be another option, I think, in a couple of weeks. We're in final testing right now, which is single staking, single HND staking solution. I'm sure the gens will love it.
Of course.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that. It's going live maybe even this week. I'm not sure, but pretty sure it's happening next 2 weeks.
Wow, that's fantastic. And look, I mean, I think anything that kind of makes people feel like they can participate wherever they live is a great thing, right? Right now, we're kind of separated by the chains we prefer. I'm all over the map all day long, but most people kind of dive into something and that's where they stay. So I think being able to know that they can participate in the community, have value from it, and be whatever chain they want to be on is going to make a huge difference for it. Are you guys going to promote it on VFAT?
Well, promote. I mean, I don't really do promotions like that. I do reviews, but it's not the same. But no, you know, it's just another protocol. People know that I'm linked to it, of course, and that does help getting people to trust us, because that's the main thing, really, when it comes to a lending protocol, is people being able to trust you. Yeah, but yes, the focus is definitely multi-chain. So, like, and also for every chain we're launching, or we're trying to get to know the community as much as possible. Like we've done, Arbitrum is still a young community, really, I'm saying, right? Phantom's a lot more established. So we've already done, you know, a couple of AMAs over there, getting more eyes on the protocol, which is great. Also, we are very close to launch on Harmony. We're waiting on Chainlink there, yes, but at least they are already launched on Harmony testnet. So it's just that little bit more to go, mainnet, and then hopefully that'll be our third chain. But also Optimism is another option. Again, we would have already launched there because now it's Israel and they do have Chainlink. The only slight hiccup there is they don't have Chainlink feeds for stable coins yet.
I got you. Arbitrum is new. Optimism has been around, but relative to adoption, I think Phantom obviously has a deeper user base, but I could be wrong. Have you found on Arbitrum that people are gravitating to it because there are so few offerings there? Is it actually allowing you to stand out more?
Yeah, of course, we stand out a lot on Arbitrum, yeah. Whereas Phantom, there's other lending brokers, which are huge. Like, you know, you've got Scream and you've got Geist and all that. But they're very different to us. You know, they're mostly focused on one chain for a start. And their incentives, you know, they're still doing the whole give out tokens for anything and everything. And allowing that. Well, that's the other main thing that we doing very differently. So we're not allowing leverage farming. So, you know, like what I did on Compound that first time.
Right.
Where you supply stable coins, then borrow them again, then supply them back again, then borrow them again. So we don't allow that at all. At the minute, we have 0% collateral factor for stable coins. So if you're depositing your USDC or whatever, you cannot borrow against it. But you're earning a pretty good yield on just HND. So you don't need to also borrow against it. What we are doing with the new staking solution, when it comes out in the next couple of weeks, is people are going to have a choice. So they'll be able to either borrow against their stable coins and not earn HND, or they can earn HND but not be able to borrow.
Okay. So what I'm hearing here is you're obviously kind of taking a more conservative approach to kind of the leverage scenario. Was that kind of a reasoning of, hey, we want to make this something that's stabler and safer and stronger? Was that kind of part of the reasoning there? Plus you wanted to also offer the benefits of the other ways for people to earn. Is that kind of the thought process behind it?
100%. Yeah. We want it to be, I'd say, almost boring. Fun wise.
I didn't want to use that word, but I actually think that's a plus.
Yeah, exactly. I think it makes a lot of sense for this type of protocol. Slow and steady, you know, no ridiculous API, you know, and we hope to attract a healthy mix. Obviously, you know, there's always going to be people that farm and dump, you know, we've all been there, all done it. But we're hoping to have a healthy mix of people who do that and people who farm and hold for the long term, because, you know, we are very long term folks. Yeah, even for our token emissions, we have a full 4-year plan. You know, it's not just a flash plan. So a lending protocol has to be trustworthy. It has to just have those values where you know that exactly you can put your funds in there and leave them there, and there's no risk to them. You know that you can take out a loan and, again, not have to worry about your collateral. And on the farming side, when you're supplying stable coins and earning from Hyundai Finance, again, you know that you're not going to have to monitor this every 2 seconds and claim your rewards and so on. It's something that is there for the long term. We have a 4-year plan with maybe 50% of the emissions happening in the first year. And we have a massively multi-chain plan. So again, we only do a few incentives on each of the chain we launch because we want there to be enough for all of them. Yes. So we want 100 to be available on every chain that people use. We do have a requirement on Chainlink being there, but Chainlink are working very hard that they are launching a lot of chains sooner or later. You know, and I think in the next 6 months, they'll probably have 5-10 more chains. So yes, so we want 100 to just be there. You know, yeah.
That's great. And I think that the space is ready for that. You know, I think from my perspective, look, I'll degen all day long and I'm having fun doing it. I have a show every day I do where I talk about crazy degen plays, but there is a chunk of my money as I'm actually making money when I do that I would love to have sitting in a stable place like this, right? And that I know that I can count on it being that way and I can set it and forget it, you know, that I don't have to worry about it. And I think as we mature as a protocol, you know, we've seen so many of the projects that are now kind of surging, like Frax that you talked about and B Protocol and Alchemix and Olympus DAO, all trying to do things to stabilize how people earn and yield and how price functions in this space. So I think you guys are really a part of kind of the more responsible maturing model that DeFi has to move into. And then I think what it does is it opens the door for the big guys who are coming in. We already have a lot of big guys in DeFi, but I mean, institutional people, they're going to be looking for things that are more like what they were used to, right? They're not coming in here looking for 1500% APY because they won't believe it's real. But if they see something that has a long-term plan and that's available on any chain that they're on, that makes a ton of sense to me. And I gather that's kind of what you guys are trying to build, is something that's really stable for the future and that'll last a very long time.
Absolutely. Yes. And especially with a lot of the new chains that have their own audiences, like Kronos. Well, of course, crypto.com is a huge corporation and they are attracting people to DeFi who wouldn't be on otherwise. That's just one example. So we're definitely looking forward to launch on there as soon as Chainlink, and we've already discussed it with them. And but also I mentioned Celo as well, which is another very interesting new chain because they're focused on mobile first. So again, very different audience, and something that's an absolutely perfect example of what 100 wants to do. So again, reaching all these different audiences, getting the token out onto as many people as possible, and hopefully capturing them and having them contribute and participate in governance.
So I think that makes a ton of sense. I think that in the months and years, we're going to see a massive influx of people from NFTs, from play to earn, from the metaverse plays that are out there. People that are coming in not as degen plays, not as full on, I'm an investor, I'm day trading or anything else, right? These are going to be people that who are earning money or are buying tokens to buy NFTs, who are going to want things that they know they can count on. And if you have a brand, if you have a project that's actually built to be stable with a long-term plan, you're going to be, and you're on available on any chain that they come into, you're going to be perfectly positioned to really be a building block across all of the chains. I think that's a really smart play. I think that so many of the people in the space now that are just, you know, going for 2000% APYs are not necessarily understanding what's coming and how critical it's going to be to have platforms that are seen as blue chip and stable for the rest of the world that's coming in.
Yes, exactly. And like, really, we are here for a long term. And besides the technology we are bringing and our app, our dev we are creating, we are also very like building a friendly community and ready to help everyone who is coming in, and even those who never used like lending and borrowing lending protocols in their lives. We are there for them, and we're happy to educate folks. And you know, and I mean, even now, I think our community is very, very like involved, and like the atmosphere is there really cool.
Nice.
I mean, like a family. We are not big yet, but I'm sure we can keep it that way, even if we get 10 times bigger, 100 times bigger, but we will do our best to keep it that way. Yeah.
That's great.
As Bifat said, like for us, the multi-chain governance is very important. We want our community to be involved, to be with us, and we want this protocol be in their hands, like in the hands of community.
Yeah. Well, and you make another awesome point there, right? How many people have actually done any kind of loan besides, you know, a mortgage, right? And here's this financial product that lets them just come to a loan without permissions or applications. You all need a strong community to help guide people through what it's like. And of course, you know, documentation on the site and everything, but that's also a really valid point.
Yep. And that's what we're also doing. We are creating documents and filling them in. So we're growing on all fronts, really.
That's very cool. And I love the fact that the community is kind of probably even stronger, more strongly bound together because of the suffering that they went through with Percent, right? I mean, we've all kind of had those experiences, but you know, they're really building out of the ashes. You guys are all building out of something that was brutal and painful for a lot of people. That makes a community even more cohesive, right? No matter what, people want this to work and be successful. Is there anything else we should know about 100? Where should people go to get involved? Should they go to the Twitter profile to find the Discord links? What protocols would you have them? Would you have them go try it out at Arbitrum right now? What do you recommend for people to get a feel and touch?
Well, yeah, basically, we would definitely recommend Arbitrum, and there we are pretty strong, in my opinion. Well, actually, these are the two chains we launched. So yes, Twitter and Discord, like our community is mainly on Discord. So yeah, if you want to get involved, join in on Discord and say hi.
Great. And the website's 100.finance. I have a question I ask everybody that comes on the show, so I'll have you guys each answer it. Is there a project and or person or persons in DeFi that you have, that you would put at like the top of your list of someone you respect for growing the ecosystem, or something cool that they created, or a project that you think is really critical to the...
I mean, I'm just trying to think about this for a minute. I have a lot of respect for a lot of people, you know.
Sure.
It really pains me to see the bickering on Twitter of late, because I mean, I have nothing but respect for all of the builders in this space.
Yeah, me too.
Everyone, obviously from Compound, where I got my start as well. and Aave, absolutely, and all of the guys at Yearn. I have learned a lot from them. So if I had to pick, that would be my top three.
I like that. That's a sound group. And, you know, look, it's obvious that you guys have taken the philosophy of DeFi to heart, or the one that should be dominant in DeFi to heart, of giving back, right? I mean, with VFAT, we see that already. And then with the approach and the philosophy you're taking to this, Ivan, what would your answer be?
Yeah, my three would be the first one, they are even, so they're the same, basically. It's not one, two, three. But first one, in my opinion, is USDC, because the guys built like fully compliant, like stable coin, and I like it.
Nice.
And the second one is Curve, because Curve is amazing and their tech and what they're doing is brilliant, in my opinion. And Synthetics, they are not having the best times right now, but their contracts solid, and I like their tech as well. Yeah,
nice. Those are good choices. And it's interesting that you guys kind of all sprung out into this community from Synthetics together through, I guess it sounds like some of you came through together at a percent and now into 100. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we made a lot of friends on the way. Synthetics, DeGen trading, it was and still is really cool. Best times for me, at least.
Nice. How much of the two of you, how much of your investments now are DeGen? What percentage is kind of DeGen crazy stuff, and the rest is kind of blue chip, more conservative things?
I'd say mine would be about 50-50.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. Approximately the same.
Yeah, I'm about 80 DeGen, 20 conservative right now, but I...
Well, actually I was, normally I was 20% DeGen, but became more DeGen recently. So 50-50 for me is a lot.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks. Cheers.